Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's give a warm Tulare County welcome for our warm-up speaker, Shaila.
Hi, I'm Shaila. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Shaila.
I'm going to start off with, when I first started coming to these rooms, I was broken. I was lost. What brought me here was the fact of I had a CWS case. And I was just praying and praying that God gave me that strength to actually work this program and get to where I am now. I started this program, and I was, like I said, I was sitting in the back rooms, just lost, confused, wasn't sure about how I wanted to work this program, if I was actually there for just my court cards and then that's it, or if I really wanted the program. After a few weeks, I listened to everybody's stories that were somewhat like mine, and I was like, okay, I want it. I've been dying for this moment. God gave this to me, and now I'm here. So I started hanging out with Albert and some of the old timers, and I was looking for a sponsor, and it took me like 6 months to get a sponsor. And finally, I just kept working the steps, reading the books. I remember the first day Albert gave me my blue book. It was amazing. I cried because nobody's ever gave me something like that. It was important to me. I started my steps, and my first one was admitting to yourself to love human beings the exact nature of your wrongs. And I couldn't admit to myself that I did myself wrong and I put myself through all this. It really hurt, especially with my kids, because all my kids knew was me, and their dads were always in and out of their lives. And then I just kept always drinking constantly. My first drink was at the age of 8. I was molested when I was younger, so it was really hard for me. My dad was gone. He was in the military, so it was like really hard to find that comfort that somebody's there going to take care of me and help me through these hard times. And I didn't have that. My mom, she was always chasing my sister, so it was really, really hard to actually find that foundation to build, to stay strong and have faith. And it was like I was the only one there. And I didn't feel at the time that I had a higher power. So I just kept drinking and going out and leaving my kids with family. And one day they told me that I couldn't see my kids at all until I got sober. And it broke my heart even more. I was out there for 2 years straight on the streets, not knowing what to do, but just running amok, drinking constantly. I found myself in jail twice for under the influence, and they never recommended me to do court or anything like that until I came down to get my kids because of CWS. My first sponsor and I, we did not click. We weren't meant to be, actually. So she left, and I guess it was meant because she went out a couple weeks later. So, but when I first saw my kids in my visiting rooms, it was hard. I thought, what am I doing? It was hard. My kids, they cried, they screamed, and first my daughter didn't want nothing to do with me, and I'm like, do I really need to be here, or can I go out and get a drink? And it hurt. It really hurt, because I was like, I asked God for this, and he finally gave it to me, and I'm thinking, why am I thinking of a drink, you know? And so something told me, you know, keep going, keep pushing forward, and that's what. And one of the things where it says you got to be willing to go through any lengths to get it, I knew when I heard that I wanted it, and I will go through any lengths to get my recovery. So I did a outpatient program, New Heights. It was a year program. They recommended me to get sponsors, do the 12 steps, and it. The first, like I said, the first 6 months of it, I was doing on my own because I couldn't get a sponsor. But I did it. It helped, even if I'm breathing by myself. And then having a few friends walk me through it got me through. I would say I went into aftercare, and then that's when I finally got my sponsor. When she was hard on me, really hard on me, she was telling me that I need to dig deeper, because I was just digging up what was on top. And she goes, no, you need to dig deeper, because you still got things down inside. So I finally did, and it broke me even more, but it broke me in a good way where I wanted to push harder to get my recovery. I graduated New Heights in September when I hit a year. And it was a blessing to have all the friends and family that I had there. And I hear this a lot from people, especially at the Algonquin and Visaya. When they come into these rooms, they don't see meeting friends or making it a family. But now that I look back, it is. I made friends and family, and it was amazing. Like, Albert, I call him my big brother. He's always been there for me, even when I pushed him away. But I'm glad he's here now. I don't know what else to say. I'm stuck. Before I came down, I was up in Alturas with my dad before I came down here, before I started my program. And my dad kept telling me, you can do this, you can get your kids back, because I had got locked up there for under the influence, and I was always going to the bar and stuff. So he told me, you can do this. And he goes, you need to find your higher power. And he took me to church. And then he brought me back down here 3 times to find my kids, to get the help that I needed. And still, I wasn't sure if I was actually ready for it until CWS took my kids. But, yeah, that's all I've got.
Thank you. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's give a warm to Larry County welcome for our featured speaker all the way from Fresno, Lisa.
Stop, girls.
Can I put my cup up?
Yeah, sure.
Is that good? Yeah, I guess. I'm Lisa, and I am an alcoholic. Bear with me. Let me get somebody else first. Okay. I'm going to tell you a little bit how it was and how it is now. First, I want to welcome the newcomers. You're the most important people here, because you remind me it doesn't work. And welcome. My hat goes out to you guys. And again, I want to, a little nervous. My hat goes out to my warm-up speaker. She did great. I think she said she almost had 2 years. 2 years? I didn't think I was an alcoholic. I came in a year. Didn't want nothing you guys had. I wanted you guys to show me how to drink. Knowing that I was in a lot of pain when I came in, I used to come in with my sister. My sister had more years than me. She probably had 10 more years than what I have now. And, I'm getting into my sobriety right now. I'm not going into my background, you know. But anyway, so I used to meet her at a meeting, and we would walk together because I didn't want anybody to see I was an alcoholic, because I didn't know I was an alcoholic. And I didn't want you guys to know I was an alcoholic, because I didn't think I was an alcoholic. So I came in with my sister. And we met at the meetings all the time, because she had a big problem. She had the ambulance going to her house. She was a suicidal, you know, always drunk, trying to take care of her. You know, I didn't look at myself. So let's go back to my life a little bit. I think my first joint was 13. Didn't like it. 14, I drank a little bit. Fell in love, of course. Got pregnant really young. By the time I had the baby, she was 15, but I was still drinking in between. So we were both sick when I delivered her, and I had to sit in the hospital for like almost 2 weeks. But that, I didn't have a problem with drinking. Don't tell me I'm an alcoholic. Don't look at my life. This is my life, you know. You can't tell me what to do. And I was with the kid's dad for over 7 years. Of course, I didn't think I could get pregnant again. I got pregnant again. You know, I had my mom, she's a Mexican hard lady. She would say, you know, don't sleep with him. You're going to get pregnant. You don't know nothing, Mom, you know. You know. I remember when I was stealing from her, she would always say, if you're stealing, you're going to go to hell. Well, I never went to hell, and I used to steal from her. I think, for me, I was already a rotten kid when I was when I was with my mom. I got in trouble. Trouble followed me all the time. I mean, if it wasn't for candy, you know, I would beat you up. I want your candy. You do my homework. And that's just in elementary school, you know. I was already mean, second grade. Little boy, you better do my homework or I'm gonna beat you up. And that's how I was. And poor kid, his name was Lister. And he would walk by me and it was like he would walk the other way, you know. I didn't care if you were male or female. I was mean. And that's how I grew up. I grew up with my two little brothers, and my brother, the middle one, he would say, Lisa, don't do it, don't do it. You know, don't do it. I'm like, God, you know, God, you know, this is 20 bucks. At 20 bucks back then, like third, I'm not going to tell you how many years, but a lot of years. You could buy, with the nickel, you could buy a lot of candy with that, you know. And, poor guy, he always got in trouble. And the youngest one, he was like me. Tough, stealing, pushing people. And that's how it went for me. But then when I met my love of my life, he gave me my first drink. Well, I don't know, everybody says, you know, different about a drink. For me, I didn't really like it, but I drank it anyway. But because by then, I already had all kinds of issues in my life, and I thought that's how everybody lived, you know? You know, I didn't really have a mom, and, you know, I did have a mom and a dad, but they were so busy working for us, you know? Who has time to read a story? My mom read a story to me. She would say, "Don't know anything, you know, she had that kind of language with me, you know? And it's like, God. Where's the love, you know? So I found the love with my husband. And I thought it was just like, da-da, you know, those movies, you know. And at that time, you know, my husband used to drink, and he you know, we both worked. And somehow we always had parties at our house. You know, I would go home, and there would be people there. I didn't even know people drinking. And this is already like 4 years in my marriage, and it just got really bad, and at that time he used to, you know, put his hands on me, you know, and it wasn't really nice with the things that he used to do to me, but, you know, I start thinking about it. Maybe I liked it because he gave me all the attention, you know, it really got really nasty, and he ended up picking off with some other girl, and I think I was like 20, but I already had 3 kids from him, you know. And I never went out. So when he left, the party started. So it was the Cruising, Belmont, the Oasis. I didn't go to clubs, so this is it. My life had just began with 3 kids, okay? So I started going to clubs. I loved the clubs, man. Getting dressed up, getting the attention from these suckers. They used to buy me drinks that I used to only take $5 and come home with $5. What? You know, and we would go to parties, me and my sister. My sister was going through a separation, and some girl from Reedy. We did some wild things, man. And now I think about it, it's like, damn, God was with me, you know. We cruised at Belmont, Kings Canyon. We would go to Selma, and one night we went to Selma like 3 times because it wasn't live. So we go to Fresno, Oasis, go back to Selma, go back to Oasis. We did that like 3 times in one night. Then we would go after, you know how the clubs are closing and there's parties afterwards, you know. And we were there, you know, we went to parties and lost my sister all the time, man. At parties, you know, and that's how it went for me. But then yet, my 3 kids were getting older. Who has time to be a mom? You know, you have all this fun in this side, and in this side, you got to be a mom. Hangovers, and I remember my daughter at that time too. She would beg me not to go out. Mom, please don't go out. I'm going to just go drink one. Just one by one. Get over it. One. I would not come in until the next day. Hangover. I mean, God, it was just so bad. And it went like that for a couple of years. And then I met some other guy, and I had a baby from him, just trying to lock him up. That didn't work. So now I got 4 kids, you know, running around and everything, and I'm like, damn, that's my life, you know, and I still have to work and pay bills, you know, and PG&E, man, you don't give them their money, they'll turn you off, and they've done it, so I would have to get a cord from one neighbor to bring it this way to get some, you know, some electric, you know, get something, you know, for my kids. Thank God for my mom, man. My mom put, you know, I had my babysitter, so it was pretty cool there. And I put my mom through a lot, and she raised me the best that she could, you know. So when I came into sobriety, you know, I was already in the end of my ropes. No more husband. Still have the kids, and still have the bills, and so I had my job, here and there job, and never got fired from a job. I always quit before they fired me. And that was my life, you know. That's how it was, and I was mean to people when I was out there. You know, I couldn't take you across town, but only if you fill up my tank or give me a six-pack, you know. Nothing was free for me. I take everything you got. And I used a lot of people. And I used my mom, thinking that I had it together, and I didn't. But anyway, so I came into sobriety, and like I said, my sister had a big problem. And then my brother was there too, because he was going through a divorce. And he came up to me and he goes, you know, Lisa, you should check out this program. I'm like, you know what? Don't be telling me I'm an alcoholic. You got your life all messed up, you know. Don't be looking at my shit. And before that night, he tore me and my daughter apart because my daughter was throwing a party and she was on KJ. And she used to live around the corner from us, and one of the kids ran over there, and my daughter was hitting me really hard. And they had her in a cop car, and they had me in a cop car, and they asked me if I wanted to press charge. I'm not going to press charge on my daughter. He took that apart, even though I threw all this stuff on him, you know. So anyway, I had my sister going to AA, and I had my brother going to AA, and I'm like, oh, my God, they really suck you guys in. And, you know, I used to talk bad about you guys. You got a bunch of smokers. And at that time at the Lana Club, I'm from Fresno, the Lana Club in Fresno, there would be ashtrays everywhere and smoking and drinking coffee, you know. And I'm like, damn, man, these people need a life. They need a life. And still denying it. I'm sober. Check this out. I'm sober, right? I have a year sobriety, and I still don't want shit from you guys. Nothing. Don't touch me. Don't say you love me. Don't hug me. You know, maybe shake my hand, but that's it. I don't want nothing you guys have. Nothing. And still, it hasn't registered in my brain, you know, that I am an alcoholic, you know. Went to the old dad. Old dad was the same way. Dunch of smokers. You come up, open the door. All the smoke would come out. I'm like, whew. And I wasn't a smoker because I didn't like weed, and I used to pretend I was smoke, but I used to cough, so I just didn't do that anymore. Well, I didn't do it. I just used to drink, and of course I like to mix drinks. And so anyway, he told me I had to find a sponsor, and my sister, you can use my sponsor. And so then I ended up using her sponsor because her sponsor was blind. She couldn't see. So, of course, I'm going to get her because I could do all kinds of stuff, right? So, I got this sponsor, and she's like, you got to call me every day. And I'm like, I'm not going to call you every day, maybe once a week or something like that. You're full of it, you know? But, of course, I didn't say that out loud because, you know, she could still hear, right? So, then she, I don't even know who bought me the first book. You know, I was going to go, before this meeting, I was... because I knew this meeting, I was going to be a speaker for this meeting. I wanted to buy me one of those fancy books with the cover. Because, you know, I'm a chairperson for this meeting in Fresno. And everybody takes this real nice book and with a cover and everything. Mine's all tore up. And all shoot up. You know, I have all tapes and everything. And it's in the car because I forgot it. But anyway, so she bought me a book. I believe it was her or my sister. And she goes, you got to read this and this and this. And, you know, when I used to go to school, my mom said I was dumb. So since I was dumb, why am I going to study for? Why am I there? But I went to school just to go to school. And they used to do my homework. And I used to pass. So when the sponsor gave me the book, I'm like, what are you doing? She goes, you got to read this page by 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm like, I don't know how to read, eh? And she's like, no problem. A week later, come to my house. She made me cassettes. Cassettes on the meat on the steps. What do you want me to do these? She goes, you can hear, right? And I go, well, yeah. So she gave me cassettes with the book and everything. So I was studying with the book and everything, you know. And then she goes, so this is already like 2 years already going on my sobriety, you know. Got a sponsor. Still didn't want really what you guys had. So then... after I started reading how it works, you know, and first pages of the big book, you know, it says, you know, inner self, inside of your gut, you know, you're an alcoholic or not, you know. And, you know, I have to be honest with Lisa. I couldn't be you anymore. I can't change you. I can't change the man. I mean, shit, it's a bitch to change me. How am I going to change the man or my man? Or my kids. You know, in the book too, it says in the end, so we're in the end, it says, Dan, if you had my kids and my husband, you would drink too. You know, that's what's me. That was me right there, you know. I mean, the kids were really bad. You know, because they were teenagers and trying to work, being a single mom was sucking hard, man. You know, I had to drink to get out of that. So then when I came into sobriety, you know, it had to come in within your gut if you're an alcoholic. You are or you're not. You know, old timer, when I went to L.A. and I already had like almost 2 years of sobriety, he goes, well, then go get yourself all back out there then. Go drink. I looked at him like, don't you care? Don't you care about me? Well, yeah, but you know, you have to be honest with yourself, you know. Why did you do all that shit, you know? You can't just drink one. And I didn't even know that. I didn't even know the one that I drink, that's the one that's going to mess you up. You know, it's not the last one, it's the first one. And I'm a kind of alcoholic. I had a lot of blackouts. The blackouts, man. So when I used to have blackouts, I used to just park my car on the side somewhere. I don't even care where it was. And my sister and the other side would be crying, take me home, Lisa, shut up, I'm trying to, you know, sober up, you know, let me just sleep. And we woke up one time, we were right there by a canal. I mean, we were just so close to going in. See, that was God in my life. That was God in my life. I believe that God was with me because when we used to come to Visalia, to the nightclubs here, we would just go with anybody. I parked my car one time, and me and the dude got mad because he wanted to, I don't know what he wanted to do. And I'm like, hey, I'm not that kind of a woman. What do you think I am? And then he goes, get up my car. I don't even know where we were. And I felt like God was with me because he took me to my car. I didn't know where we were. And stuff like that we did. Stupid stuff. Plus, I wasn't a good mom. I didn't think I was. And me and my daughter, my oldest daughter, we crashed a lot. We couldn't even be in the same room without her hitting me or having it out. I even nailed her windows at one time because she would always get out. And things like that. I mean, how am I going to take care of these kids if I couldn't even take care of myself? Check that out. But anyway, so I end up admitting to my own self that I was an alcoholic. Wasn't too happy about that. Because I still liked it, the cruising and the picking up and the tension, all of that. So then my sponsor said, okay, you're going to have to work the steps 1 through 12. That's why they're in order. You can't go from 12 to 1. And I'm a cheater, so I like to cheat, you know. So I would like to go to 12 and then 1. But she told me go 1 to 12 and go to meetings every day. Go to meetings every day. I didn't even have a car. Well, how'd you get to Visalia if you didn't have a car? I had friends. I didn't have a car, and I would go to Visalia to a party, but I can't go to a meeting. That made no sense, right? So anyway, so I went to meetings. I ended up fixing my little car. And I'm waiting for all my rewards since I'm sober. All the nice cars, the nice man, nice house, nice job, nice more money. Never came. Then my sponsor would say, well, you know, going to meetings. Already, what, 3 or 4 years now? And I go, well, yeah. And you haven't got a job? Why can't they get off, man? I don't need to work. I get an appointment. I'm all right with that. Well, no, you're not. You want things, don't you? I was just working from paycheck to paycheck, okay? So then, okay, I went back to school. Got my diploma. Did it without cheating. I did that. And I accomplished it, you know? I'm like, and my mom was there, you know, poor mom. And, you know, my mom was an alcoholic, too, and she ended up stopped drinking, too, and she messed up her liver and some other things, and she passed on, and I had 7 years of sobriety, and that hurt me, but I got to give her my amends and tell her to forgive me for everything that I've done to her, you know, and she forgave me, you know, and I know that if I wasn't in sobriety, I wasn't able to do that, because it was about me. It was about me. I was selfish. I had all the defects of character. Jealousy. Not being honest. No love. Of course, no love. I had hate. You can't have both. Love or hate. But she got to pass, and she got to see that I was sober. And then, so I'm staying in the program and working my steps with my sponsor as the best that I can. And she tells me to pick up ashtrays, and I hate picking up ashtrays because I'm not a smoker. Hate it. I get them and go clean them. Oh. She would tell me, go serve coffee, and I'm like, hell no, I'm not going to serve coffee. I'll probably trip and fall, and you guys are going to laugh at me. I'm not going to do that. Took me a while to do that. Then she said, okay, now she was just like, you have to do that, and you have to do this. And I'm like, why don't you do it? I've been there. I've done it. And so she would say, okay, well, now you have to be a secretary for this meeting. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. But, you know, I believe that if I didn't do all that, I would have been sober. You know, I want to say when I was five years of sobriety, I was a secretary for the Saturday, then the Sunday. And then because I found a job, I can't, you know, do Monday to Friday. But Now, right now, that I have more sobriety, I have the speaker meeting on Friday nights. And, hey, where's all my kickback? I want to kick back now. I've been here for a while. No, you got to stay in service, you know? And I've seen it. I've seen the people that are not in service. And they go back out, 30 years, 40 years of sobriety. And I'm like, damn, my heart goes out to them. I don't judge them, but that could be me, you know? And I remember doing H&I work when they told me to go to the prison. I was scared of hell. I thought they were going to lock me in. I thought they were going to change persons. You know how they do in those movies? They change persons and that other person goes out and you stay in. That's what I thought that was going to happen to me. And those were the best meetings. And they are so humble. Because I could be them. I'm a blackout person. You know, I'm a black person, a blackout person. And thank God I didn't kill anybody out there. You know, or I didn't kill my husband because I shot the shotgun at him, you know, and I missed him twice. And hold on, because I was going to die that day. Things like that, you know. I don't mean to, but maybe because I'm a person, I look at judge people, you know, sometimes when they come out and say, I've been in prison for 8 years, and I'm like, well, I never been in prison, so maybe I'm not an alcoholic. You know, that's how I was in the beginning, you know. There's a lot of things. Those are my yes. I can't say I'm never going to go to jail, because if I do drink, I'm a blackout person. Okay, now you got the picture right there, right? So, there's a lot to say in this program. Okay, so the oldest daughter of mine, I want to say that she's 43. She won these tickets, and me and her get along so good now, and she won these tickets to Hawaii, and who did she invite? Me. And I'm like, what? You want to take me? Your mom? And she's like, well, yeah, Mom, you're my best friend. I'm like, oh, damn. Oh, damn, that was cool, and we had the best time ever, chasing a bus, chasing guys. I mean, it was just so much fun. Me and her get along so good. And I have 4 kids, right? And I want to say, I don't even know how long ago, I don't like to tell you guys my age, so I want to say maybe over 20 years or so. My, you know, because things come down. Things come down. I mean, it's not all nice and rosy, posy, you know. You're gonna have problems in life. Like, I gotta pay the PG&E still. Because I tried it. They say, find a God that you understand him. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm gonna check you out, God. If there's a God, I'm not paying my PG&E. Okay, not like that, okay? Because they'll turn you off. Because I tried it. Not like that. Okay, so in Sanger, because I live in Sanger in a little tiny town. So at that time, I didn't have that much money. So I'm going to say, okay, God, there's a God. I'm going to go to Fresno on empty. Did I make it to Fresno? No. Oh, man, what a God. What a God I have. Well, that's not how it works, you know. The God I used to have, I would be in prison and say, God, no, in jail. I only went to jail one day, one evening. And you better leave me there, because my mom was out there with the broom. One day, lost my concentration. And I would say, if you get me out of this one, I won't drink again. No, I would drink the next day. So that's not a God that I understand. The God I have today, oh my God, he's awesome. Find a God, man. So I got to go back to school. I went to college, got a business. I got my little tiny business at home, and I love it. I love my business. And then after that, I want to say I had 15 years of sobriety. My granddaughter had leukemia. And then at that time, I already had like 3 years not going to meetings, but I would still pick up the books because I'm trying to fix my husband right now, okay? So I didn't go to meetings, and I find out that my granddaughter had leukemia, and it killed me. swimming my knees and told God, why God? Why is this happening to her? Why can't it happen to me? And she's one of my, she's my oldest granddaughter. And thanks to God, with all the prayers, and I called everybody up, all my brothers and sisters, and we met my daughter at Children's Hospital, and we all just prayed on her, and I believe that God cured her. Because I believe in prayer. Mm-hmm. I believe in prayer, and today she's cancer-free. By the grace of God, she is cancer-free. And me and her have a great relationship. It's awesome. It's awesome, that relationship. And then I got two other daughters here. My heart goes out to them. Amanda, not too much. But yeah, Amanda, she didn't see me as a drunk. I mean, she was only one when I came in. And she used to be a little brat. She used to run around the tables and everybody said, sit that kid down. I go, I can't. She's out of control, man. But, you know, she used to pick up the ashtrays and help me, you know. So she doesn't really know me as a drunk. And that's what's awesome about it, because I have 15 grandchildren. Woo! I know. And none of them know me as a drunk, and not even Amanda. And I love every single one of them. Me and Denise, we just started building our relationship. I would die for my kids today. I couldn't say that before. My kids were a headache, man. Now today, they're all blessing to me, all of them, all single one of them. I could call Denise anytime, and she'll be there for me. And she'll call me, and I could be there for her. You know, being responsible. Who wants to be responsible? Not me. Let me drink. Leave me alone. I had so much anger when I would wake up, and I would say, God, why am I so angry? Why am I so angry at my life? This is what you did, you know? You choose this life, you know? We got choices. And I remember my mom saying that in Spanish, you know. You got choices. A good choice, go the straight road or the other road. The crooked road. I went to the crooked road. And but I was a brat. I was a brat, man. I don't know. I guess by the time I was 8, 9, I used to steal candy. Because I would win my friends with candy. You want to be my friend? Nah. I got candy. Okay, that's how it went in school. I mean, that's how it was for me. And that's, I thought that's how everybody lived, but it's not even like that. Today, what's great about my life today is I pick up the book, even though I read one or two pages, but I read one or two pages. Excuse me. I go to church today because that's what works for me. You know, it's getting a relationship with God, how you understand Him, not how I understand Him. It's not going to help me if you try to fix me. It's not going to help me if I try to fix you. It's not going to help me any. You know, I can't judge you. I don't know where you come from. Even if I do know where you come from, I still can't judge you. Who am I to judge you? I still have a brother that still drinks. He's a bum. He asks us for money and everything. And what do I have to do? I can't change him. He doesn't want it. We tried to take him to AA. We tried to take him to church. He doesn't want it. He says, this is life. What can you do? Just pray for them. You can't force them to do something. You can't force anybody to do something. You can't force anybody to stop drinking. Who are we? I got to stop playing God. I read that today. I didn't think I had a memory up here, but I do. You know, just the other day, not the other day, a couple of months before my birthday, I had to take this test, the DMV test, you know, that one. And so I think I thought I whipped it, you know, like, I don't need to study, I'm going to go take it, okay? Flunked. Damn!
This test is pretty hard, it's pretty tricky.
I'm going to just take it real fast. Flunked. I went back and went, oh, I better study. You know, I'm not the kind of person that, I remember when I used to go to school, college, and it used to be three little young girls, and by then I had the, you know, the kids, and You know, I was already old. And did you study for the test, Lisa? I sure did all night. Well, what is it about? Are you for real? I mean, I thought I'd get in off my chair and just... They just studied off of me, what I said to them. And then they passed with an A. And I still got a B or a C. What the heck? But anyway, so I took this test again after I studied for a good week. I didn't think I was going to pass. But I thought I was going to have to pay $37 again. So I'm taking my time and I only have one more. You know, you can only miss, I think, three. Well, guess what? I passed it. And I came out like dancing away and everybody looking. I don't even care. Dancing, giving the cumbia and everything. Because I did it. I did it. And you know, I just believe that we alcoholics are unique. We're all different and we're unique. Because you know what? When I was out there, I don't know how I would get to a party. I would be there. I would open the door without no car. I would be there. Isn't that unique? Okay, so now transfer it to a meeting. If you really, really want to stop drinking, I mean, you have to come in within, inside your gut. Mm-hmm. Not for your mom, not for your wife, because I've done that. Not for wife, not for your kids, for yourself. That's what they told me when I came in. You know, take an inventory. If you keep going to prison, coming out. If you keep going to jail, and coming out. Taking my car away, coming out, getting into fights. We always got into fights at my house. I even stopped buying VCRs at one time because I used to get ripped off every night. And something's wrong. Take an inventory. You know, we're not no babies here. I can't stand that. You know, we come in here and, the slippers. I can't stand the slippers. At one time, there's a guy at the Llama Club, and I'm going to mention his name, but damn, he's going back in. And back out. In and out. Take an inventory, man. You know, what you want? You want to drink? Or drink? Go drink. If not, stay in. What the heck? And you know, the slippers always say, oh, if I slip, I'm gonna die out there. Well, you keep coming back in after 10 years, and you're still here. I don't understand that. But I'm not a slipper, because I believe that you gotta take an inventory yourself. Within, are you an alcoholic? Come on now. I mean, you don't take your mama to the store, or you don't take the mama to the bars or anything like that. We do it all on our own. If I want to go to a party when I was out there, I didn't eat nobody. I would go by myself. Go buy a six pack, go buy a drink. I did it, you know? And then we're over here all babies and everything. But you know what? I'm already taking this inventory about people that are slippers. But anyway, so... But you know what? I met some good people. Some good, good people in my sobriety. And still more, man. Still more. Like, they love me. They love me. They didn't want nothing from me. They love me until I could love myself. And that was awesome. You know, and for someone to hug you, I'm like, okay, mom, what do you want? Sex? Money? I don't have money. You know, what the heck? You know, they hug you because they love you. They know where you've been. They know where you've been, man. And they're here just to help you. And it's so funny because, you know, like I was talking about, if you want to ride your Fresno, fill up my tank, man. And it's not even like that no more. I remember my sister in sobriety. She used to have like 10 years of sobriety. And she had all these coats. These nice coats. And she gave this coat away to this newcomer. I didn't understand that. I'm like, what's wrong with you? You know, someone hit you with a bat? You know, you're giving some coat to this newcomer? But you don't have a coat? I don't got a coat either. You're not giving me a coat. You know, like stuff like that, you know? And I don't take money from the baskets no more. Not that I did, maybe $50, 50 cents or a dollar, but, you know, the basket goes right by you, and if you're an old-timer, man, it better not go by you and you're sitting by me and you put 50 cents, because I'll be pissed. Come on now. We got property, houses, and you couldn't put 50 cents? I mean, people sit by me and I'm like, really? 50 cents? You might as well put nothing. You know, this program is free. They gave it to us. Why didn't pay anything? I don't know about you. I didn't come with a court card, but that's a yet. That's a yet for me. I didn't go to prison. That's a yet. I didn't kill anybody. That's a yet for me. You know, and I got to stay small. I remember this old time would tell me, stay small, Lisa. Don't think you got it together. Because sometimes I could think I got it together, but I don't. Only because what? I got 10 pairs of shoes. I think I got it together. What boots to put on? What pants to put on? You know? Well, back then in the day, I only had one pair of shoes, and my mom put tape on it because it had a hole on the bottom. God, I don't want to give you my shoes. My sister used to say, well, you got to get the shoes if someone else needs them. Hell no. I worked too hard for my money. But yeah, I would. I would give you my shoes if you needed them. But you know, with my grandchildren, I don't like them to suffer. They don't need to. I read stories to my kids. I have a home daycare. And when they come in, they're blessed. Because I already blessed the house. I blessed them. They're not going to get molested. They're not going to get run over. I take care of them like they're my own. And that's a miracle itself, man. I wake up in the morning. I love it. I love my business. I love all my kids. I have a kid that just came when he's already a freshman or a junior. He's in, and I took care of him when he was in kindergarten. He just came over to my house and gave me a hug. I go, you can mess around with this old lady. He goes, I love you, Lisa. Damn, I didn't even give him no money or food. And he's saying he loves me, you know? I read books to them. I read books to them, and we have, I teach them before they go into kindergarten, they should know ABCs and everything, all the basics. And I love it. And they give me all the hug I want. I love it. I have an eight-month-old baby right now, and when he hugs me with like he pulls my ears and hugs me and gives me a kiss with his mouth open. I love all that, because I didn't give that to my kids, but I could give it to my grandchildren. I have 15 grandchildren. The oldest is 21, the smallest is 2, he'll be 3, and we read stories. Who has time to read stories when you're out there drinking? Oh, I did it. I woke up with a hangover. Leave me alone, man. Go give me some ice with water. Poor my kids, man. But I'm repaying it with my grandchildren for me. And I don't take anything for granted today. Not nothing. Not my food. I remember my kids grew up with papas and eggs and fideo. Fideo is noodles. Poor food. And everybody eats at my house. Sometimes parents even stop by and eat too. And it feels good to give back. You know, it might not be the people that I use, but I'm giving back. Everything I have is given because of AA. Because they taught me that I could go back to school, get a job, get my own money, buy my car, you know, have my own money. I never had a dime in my purse. Probably only like $2. I could give today. I could give you money if you really need it. But, you know, not just like giving, you know, like that. But, you know, I pray about it. You know, I'm a big believer in praying. I pray for people that are sick. Like I said, I'm a real big believer. And this is where I found everything. I found everything. I found my new God. It could be your God. Working the steps. Don't take things for granted. Not even my kids. I love my kids. I would do anything for them. I have one son that's still not in the right road. I don't know if he's not drinking, but he hasn't really forgave me. But that's okay, because I turn him over. I can't change him. You know, but thank God I have my 4 girls, really 3 girls, but I call my granddaughter my 4th girl. They take me out to eat sometimes, or I'll take them out to eat sometimes. I can make plato plates for people, you know. We always have food there, always. See, there's so much to say in this program. You get to meet friends. I don't have that many friends. A lot of my friends is my kids, my girls. Those are my friends. If I have a personal problem, I talk to my girls about it. I'm an open book with them. I don't have anything to hide. I don't have no secrets today, not that I know of. Not that I don't sleep. I mean, I sleep like a baby now. I don't even want to get out of my bed. I remember before when I used to drink, I used to try to drink and try to get to bed, you know, and then wake up with a hangover. But it's not like that today. I wake up with a lot of peace. And I try not to hurt anybody. And I take my inventory if I do hurt somebody. And most of the time, if I do hurt somebody or say something, it would probably be with my kids. Because that's my life around my kids and my daycare kids and their parents. And things are good, you know. Life is really, really good for me. And I know it's here for you guys, you know. Newcomers, man, to me, it's like, look within. Take an inventory. Go to a lot of meetings, you know. Even though you might not have a car, get there. Because I know if you don't have a car, you could walk, take a bus, hitch it, you know, call a friend, get numbers. Someone will pick you up. Trust me, I don't even care if they're from Sanger. You know, I would go from Fresno to Sanger to go get somebody and bring them back, and you would probably say I'm nuts, but that's okay. Because they did it for me. Why can't I do it for somebody else? You know, and keep myself small, humble, you know, because I know that if I take a drink, I could lose everything. The relationship with my children that I love so much. Thank God that my daughter Amanda didn't get to see me as a drunk. And my grandchildren, God, I was a mess. I was a big mess, man. The things that I did and used people. Mostly I used people and then I got to hurt myself in the way, you know, lost myself. I just thought everybody lived like that. And to find out, nope, we don't live like that, you know. That's not normal, you know. Getting drunk all the time and wake up with hangovers and spending a whole Saturday or Sunday in the bed, you know. I'm trying to think. I lost myself. How much time do I got, people? They still got a lot of time?
Yeah, about
4 minutes. Oh, God! I did it, you guys! You know, I was going to say, I can't make the meeting. I have a great grandson that got born yesterday, so I got to go visit them, so I can't come to a meeting. You know those excuses everybody makes? Because I have a speaker meeting on Fridays. I'm a chairperson, and you should see all the complaints I have without them. Not being a speaker, naughty on them. And it was rubbing on me. I want to thank Albert for inviting me here. You know, thank God it's not a big group. And thank God. but anyway, this is your life, man. No one's going to tell you not to drink. No one's going to tell you to drink. You know, we're here for you. If you go back out there, we're going to still be here for you guys, you know. Because they were here for me, you know, when you're ready. I guess when you're ready. Hopefully it's not too late until you're in prison and say, oh, damn, I am an alcoholic, and I got 20 years. No, you don't want that, man. It's a good life. It's a good life without drinking. I have so much fun. We just went to Las Vegas the other 2 weeks ago. We had lots of fun there. Then my daughter had a blast. Party, man, and I didn't drink, and I thought I was on a high. Like, I got into this high, like, it was awesome. And everybody was drunk, and I was just like, damn, that could be me. But I was in my own high, you know, and we had fun. Easter's coming up, you know, that's one of my favorites because we have an Easter hunt for all the little ones, and it's awesome. You know, it's just, giving back to my little children, you know, my little people. It's awesome, man. My life is awesome. It's awesome. And wow, I got to change my life, not your life. You know, changing is a big thing. If you wake up angry all the time, something's going on with you, man. No one can fix you. Because I was the type to say, what's wrong with you, Lisa? Oh, nothing. I'm all cool. And still drinking. Come on, now. And your kids are in gangs and getting ripped off all the time. The cops are always there. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Look at it, guys. You know, look at it. But anyway, there's so much stuff to say about this program. It's just awesome, you know, that God gave me a second chance. God gave me a second chance of life to be a good mom, to be a good parent, to be a good provider, an aunt, a sister. I can't ever tell you, but I'm going to just tell you with this. I am just a really grateful alcoholic, and I'll keep coming back.